Today, we're going to behold the cross. We're going to look at the cross today. Now, we've seen many crosses, right? We have seen lots of gold crosses and silver crosses, polished, shiny. Wooden crosses tend to be well-made, well-finished, sanded smooth, you know, varnished, polyurethane, that kind of stuff. But today we need to see the cross that Jesus hung on. We need to think of Jesus hanging on it. The cross is rough, splintery, dirty, bloody, and you know, it very likely wouldn't just be Jesus' blood on the cross, right? The Romans, if nothing, are efficient. A cross would take some work to make. It'd be incredibly unlikely that they would use one cross and then throw it away after killing one person. And the Romans tended to crucify people pretty often, especially in Jerusalem. There were a lot of revolts. Jerusalem really just did not want to live under Roman rule. You know, in AD 70, they come and they destroyed Jerusalem because of how much of a problem the Jews are for them. You don't know. You don't know what was done with the cross before Jesus was hung on it. You don't know what happened to it afterward. But the likely scenario is that they used it to kill people before Jesus and they used it to kill people afterward. I mean, the Romans didn't think anything special of Jesus. So it would have all kinds of blood on it, maybe even some flesh hanging on it from previous deaths. It's not a pretty sight, not the kind of thing you want to wear around your neck. It would be very stout, very heavy, very sturdy. When the text talks about Jesus carrying the cross, and it's likely that he had to carry the cross member, that the upright would have already been out there. But even that would be very, very heavy and hard to carry. So we need to see that cross. We need to see Jesus hanging on it. Okay, he was nailed there. He had been whipped. He had been beaten. So he would have been bloody, would have been dirty, he would have been dying. He would have been dying long before they hung him on the cross. We don't like to look at that. You know, I've watched, you know, the movie with the crucifixion a few times, and it's a terrible movie to watch. We just don't like to see it. And the likely scenario is, if anything, it's not violent enough. It was probably worse. So as I read from Luke 23 today, I want you to look at Jesus on the cross. See his agony. Witness his pain. Look at the love that is represented in all that. See, we're reading about the darkest day in history when evil did its worst, and we need to see it. I'm going to read out of Luke chapter 23, starting at verse 26. Luke 23, starting at verse 26. I'm going to follow along in the Pew Bible. It's page 1046. As they led him away, that's the Romans leading Jesus away. As they led him away, they seized Simon from Cyrene, who was on his way in from the country, and put the cross on him and made him carry it behind Jesus. A large number of people followed him, including men who mourned and women who mourned and wailed for him. Jesus turned and said to them, "Daughters of Jerusalem, do not weep for me. Weep for yourselves and for your children. For the time will come when you will say, 'Blessed are the barren women, the wombs that never bore and the breasts that never nursed. Then they will say to the mountains, fall on us, and to the hills, cover us. For if men do these things when the tree is green, what will happen when it is dry? Two other men, both criminals, were led out to him to be executed. When they came to the place called the Skull, there they crucified him along with the criminals, one on his right, the other on his left. Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. And they divided up his clothes by casting lots. The people stood there watching, and the rulers even sneered at him. They said, he saved others, let him save himself, if he is the Christ of God, the chosen one. The soldiers also came up and mocked him. They offered him wine vinegar and said, if you are the king of the Jews, save yourself. There was a written notice above him which read, this is the king of the Jews. One of the criminals who hung there hurled insults at him. Aren't you the Christ? Save yourself and us. But the other criminal rebuked him. Don't you fear God, he said, since you are under the same sentence. We are punished justly, for we are getting what our deeds deserve, but this man has done nothing wrong. Then he said, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Jesus answered him, I tell you the truth, today you'll be with me in paradise. You know, this story is one time when we can be glad that the world is not fair. It wasn't fair for Jesus to die in our place and take the punishment for our sin. It wasn't fair for him to be judged by humanity and rejected and killed. It wasn't fair. But it was a great blessing. It was not fair that Jesus was taunted by the people. If you are the Savior, save yourself. He was and is the Savior. He could have saved himself. Listen to this, these people taunting him, and he knows he could save himself. I imagine in his humanness he would have liked to have saved himself. But he sacrificed himself for the guilty. It wasn't fair, but it was an immense gift to humanity. See, Jesus could have saved himself, but instead, he chose to save us. If you want to picture the story, like, where do we fit in this story? One place where we would fit really well would be as one of the criminals. We're in the same boat as the criminals who are crucified with Christ. The Roman soldiers, the women who are wailing for him, the religious leaders, Simon from Cyrene, us, we're all in the same boat as the criminals. We're guilty. And our guilt condemns us. Our guilt isn't even in question. We deserve to die. It would be just. It would be fair. But Jesus saves him if we will trust him. If we will trust him, he will count his crucifixion in our place. And we can be with him in paradise. Paradise, it refers to God's garden. That's a really neat image. We can be in God's garden with God. And you know, isn't it interesting as we think about the criminals? One criminal was on Jesus' right-hand side and one was on his left. He's surrounded by criminals at his death. And both criminals had equal access to him. One One turns to him in faith, while the other insults him. That's like a picture of humanity. We all have equal access to Christ. Some of us turn to him in faith, and some of us just prefer to insult him and reject him. But this is the day when evil did its worst. Next week, we're going to read about his actual death and his burial. It's all part of the same story. It's the time when evil did its worst. And Jesus took the worst upon himself. He hung there and he took it. He took the punishment. He took the torture. And he redeemed it. When we think of bad things happening to good people, think of Jesus hanging on the cross. He took the bad things and he redeemed it. God redeems the bad for our good. Jesus took the worst that evil could do and he turned it into our healing. 1 Peter chapter 2 says, "He, Jesus himself, bore our sins in his body on the tree. We might die to sin and live to righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed." Evil poured out his worst upon Jesus. And through his sacrifice, we are healed. We're healed by being freed from sin. Jesus has made it possible for us to die to sin and live to righteousness, to purity, being set aside to live as God would have us live. We are healed to speak the truth in love. We're healed to share Christ, to talk with people, anywhere, everywhere, anytime that love compels us. We're healed to fullness of life and to share that life with others. We're healed to go through suffering and shame, joy and celebration in order to grow in Christ, to grow closer to him, to grow to be more like him, to grow in grace. And we're healed that we can let go of the things that are around us that get in the way, that bog us down from living for Christ. We are healed that we can just set it aside. It can be very freeing to let go of things that used to cling so tightly to us, just to live more for Christ. By Jesus' wounds, by his shed blood, we are healed. People see healing from sin, from addictions. People see healing in relationships and emotional struggles. People see healing from illness. People see healing from disease. Sometimes people are healed from the need for healing. But we are all healed by Jesus' shed blood. We're going to take communion in just a few minutes. We're going to remember that Jesus shed his blood for us. But before we take communion, I want us to pray. I want us to pray for healing. If you want to join in that prayer, I'm going to ask you to stand. If you want to pray for yourself, or you want to pray for somebody else, someone who needs healing, just stand up. I'm going to pray. You don't have to pray out loud. And ask God for that healing, for you or for somebody else. Maybe it's from sin. Maybe it's from addictions. Maybe it's in relationships. Maybe it's from emotional struggles, illness, disease. Let's pray. Jesus, what you went through for us. What you went through for a humanity that had rejected you. And that you, who never knew sin, took all of our sin upon yourself. And sacrificed your life for us. Shed your blood for us. And your word tells us that we are healed by your wounds. Lord, we need healing. Our world needs healing. The brokenness Lord, we need physical healing. We and some we care for very deeply really, really are struggling with illness. Dying. Or having their quality of life absolutely decimated. We ask for healing. Heal our bodies. And Lord, we ask for healing for those who are still trapped in their sin. We ask for healing for those who continue to reject you. We ask for healing of those trapped in addictions. There are many different kinds of addictions. We ask for healing for those who worship, who hold so close to them things that are not you, people who worship idols. We ask for healing for those who worship themselves so much. We ask for emotional healing. We ask for healing for relationships, for families, for friendships, for marriages. There is often so much pain in our relationships. We ask you, God, to bring healing, forgiveness, reconciliation. Heal us, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.